For the past decade, our teams have been working incredibly hard to make some big and much-needed changes in how we develop leaders while at work. I challenge you to forge your own path in your own leadership evolution. Consider one that makes the lives of people around you in the business better by building more purpose-driven leaders and relationships with your teams. We need to build leaders who truly care about those they see and engage each and every day. We invite you to hear more about our own leadership and cultural journey, and the impactful stories will surely resonate with you and your teams.
Welcome back to the Built to Lead podcast. I'm Edgar Cabello, your host with the Lippert Academy. I'm one of the leadership directors here, and today we're excited to tell another story about what's happening at Lippert these days. One of the things we've been talking a lot about this year is being a force for good. And I think we're going to hear a really unique angle on that today. So I'm really excited to be here with Steve Slokey and with Isaiah Talby. And we're going to hear a little bit from them. But Steve, give us a little bit about yourself and your role at Lippert, and then we'll push into the story here in just a minute.
Yeah, so good morning. I've been with the chassis division the whole career here, 19 years now with the company. So I've seen the old culture and the change that we've made into the new culture that we are, the journey that we are on here. So a big transition and glad to be a part of it.
Awesome. That's great. We might come back to you on that, okay? Because like I love those before and after stories. So yeah. Isaiah, you're more of the like right now story because you haven't been around for that long. But just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Just a single dad with three kids. Made a career change.
Okay.
Be honest with you, it's been a great career change. I was a teacher and a coach, and everything that I've learned in the past 20 years doing that has applied almost evenly.
Yeah.
Exactly the same thing, except now it's just trying to learn about chassis and RVs.
Right on. Yeah. Big learning curve there, right? But it's, you know, so you came in as an LIT, which is our leader in training program, right about that?
Correct.
So I'm just kind of curious about your experience with LIT. Like, what was it like to go through this program here at Lippert?
I'm still in it, and it's been a great program. You know, I mean, the biggest thing for me was career change. I'm a teacher and a coach for the last 18 years.
Okay.
Where do I fit? And that was the reason I took this one over another opportunity, was because I was like, man, I don't know where I fit. And talking with Sheena when we talked, you know, she was just like, well, it's a program, and we just kind of, you go through and you just get a little taste of everything. And I was like, okay, that might work, because all I know is teaching and coaching. I'm not exactly sure where, what path to really go, or where should I go, or how should I go about getting there.
Yeah.
And this opportunity to me felt like it was the right fit.
I love it. And because I've seen other people go through the program, and one of the commitments that we make to people that come through like you is like, we're going to give you as much as we can. We're going to give you a panoramic view of what Lippert is, what it's all about. You're going to meet a lot of people. You're going to see a lot of different functions. You're definitely going to get your hands on product and things like that. But the idea is to give you a good look around. So pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great. So big shift. And we were talking about beforehand, like, you're not lonely in this company because we have other teachers and coaches that have made the jump. So before you joined the Lippert family back in June of 21.
Yep.
So it's just been, what, 7-8 months now since you've been with us. You were coaching football down south. So you made a climate change and a career change at the same time. What brought you north?
My sister lives up here, so I definitely wanted to try to be closer to family, have family, you know what I mean, have cousins in your life and family in your life.
Right on.
Get a little more support that way.
So, okay, all right. You know,
that's what drove me up this way. And then my parents live in California, so now when they'd come to visit, it's not visit a week here and a week with us down south, we get more time with each other.
Right on. Yeah, that's great. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about what your experience has been with Isaiah since he jumped on. I mean, you guys, we vet people out pretty well around here. I always tell folks, like, be patient, because this could take a while. I don't know what your process was like, but, like, after meeting him and kind of bringing him on the team, tell us a little bit about what that's been like from your angle.
So, like Isaiah said, he was down in Georgia, so we did a teams call at first, and then he came up. So we like to give every lit that we're bringing on a tour of the campus first to make sure it is something that they're gonna like for the rest of their career, because we do want to make it a career for them. So he came up, visited us, gave him a tour, got him to meet everybody, and you could just tell his positive attitude, his persona when he was walking through the shop. Like, people really connected with him because he does have that coach, right? So he knows how to connect with people pretty well. And that's, I mean, I have a sports background. So we connected and hit it off pretty well. And so after that tour, we definitely thought, like, all right, it's time to offer him and get him up here for a lit and get him through the program and see what the best fit for him would be.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. So what have you seen in terms of, like, development and growth and his ability to grasp what's going on? I mean, totally new.
Yeah.
I mean, he skips industry, right, to come on board
totally
here.
Different career. Yeah. Totally different career move there. So going from teaching and growing kids to one, so I don't think you're still growing people, you're still growing the team members, you're growing that, but learning the manufacturing side, I think, is a big task coming out of the teaching world, probably to learn the manufacturing side of understanding how all the components go together and how they connect to the RV and the finished unit there. So him being able to grasp that pretty quickly, he's going back through the process now as actually a team leader and working on taking over a couple lines of his own and kind of running it like it's his own shop now and having to make personnel moves and decisions on what's going to happen each day. So he's grasped it very quickly, and obviously we'll get into the story of why he's still kind of in that lit program.
Yeah. Because we had a little bit of a pause there, but before we go there, so tell me, so you're running a part of the shop right now. I mean, you're leading, people are following you right now. Like, what's that been like for you?
It's been fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it really is like, just like football. I mean, you have your guys, you know what I mean? And with your guys, you got to build those relationships and be able to have fun and still, you know, with having fun, like, get them to believe in you and listen to you and, hey, come on, we got to get to work.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? It's the same type of camaraderie, same type of atmosphere.
Right.
It's just, instead of crunching football numbers or talking football technique, you know, we're just talking about how we put together this RV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or this chassis. So it's been a really good experience for me. So.
But you're seeing direct application from things you've learned in your teaching career, your coaching career.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? It's just learn the process of how does it all get fit together or pieced together.
Yeah.
And what really is really like clicked for me was I took the Lean class 101.
Yeah.
And Sean Cowell.
Yeah.
Everything, the way he taught it was like he incorporated sports in every scenario. And after hearing him, like, things really started clicking.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. It, like, because I was like, oh, is that all that it was? Like, he put it in more like language that I understood. God, if that makes sense. I don't
absolutely.
Know if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely it does.
And then I was like, oh, now I get it. Oh, now I understand. It kind of like came full circle for me.
For sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, oh, that's all it is. I'm just learning a different playbook or different technique. And now, oh, okay.
Yeah. Sean leads a fantastic lean team here.
Yeah.
And like we those guys actually simplify the process. I remember it was through some of their coaching and teaching that the lights started to go on for me in terms of understanding what's actually happening in the shop.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I love that. That was part of the program, you know, and lean manufacturing is really elemental to what we're trying to build into all of our LITs at Lippert. But Steve mentioned a moment ago, like, we had a pause there for a minute because, like, something happened. What was you got the virus?
Yeah, 3 months?
When was that? Was it confirmed that you had picked it up, COVID-19?
Well, I was sick for like a week or fighting something, you know what I mean? But I wasn't like sick. And then I went home on a Friday and I didn't wake up till like Saturday and I just was off. I mean, I felt just like terrible.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, you know, need to get tested because, I mean, got to find out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Went to the hospital, got tested. They gave me some antibiotics and said, hey, you know, 2 days, you'll be feeling better. Don't worry about it. Sent me home. Went home. 4 days later, my sister showed up to check on me, and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't walk.
Wow.
I mean, I couldn't get from the bedroom to the bathroom. 2 days, thank goodness, I don't know what my kids were doing. I'm glad they know how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Sure.
I didn't get them, fix them anything or do anything. I mean,
yeah, because you're single dad, right? And
right.
So all of this is happening and you're the man of the house, the single adult that's in this house. And
yeah, so my sister showed up and she was like, something is wrong with
you.
Because I could barely talk. I could barely breathe. I couldn't get up out of the chair. I was making myself move around because I thought, oh, you know, work it out. You know what I mean? Get that virus out of there. And I couldn't even move. And she was like, get in the car. We're going to the emergency room.
Goodness.
And as soon as I got there, it was like, you know, Monopoly. You do not pass go. You go straight. I mean, I went straight back. I mean, right from the front sitting in the, I remember that part still. I was sitting there. And I was like, I can't breathe. I, you know, and she was like, she pulled up. She was like, you just tested COVID here. Like, 4 days ago. I said, yes. And literally a nurse from the back came, picked me up in the wheelchair, and I went right back.
Well.
Yeah, there was no hanging out in the weight room. I went right back.
So move us forward a little bit. You're in the hospital for what period of time? Like, what's going on? Give us a little.
I was there for rehab hospital for total of almost 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah. I had a blood clot. I had two blood clots, one in my lung, one in my leg. I don't know if that was from COVID or what, but your breathing rate or whatever, if it gets below 80, you're supposed to go to the hospital.
Okay.
Well, when I showed up, it was at 70.
Wow.
And that's bad. To one point, it got to 50, and I don't quite remember. All I do is they put me on the respirator. And on a respirator, come to find out when you come off, only 33% come off. Everyone else, unfortunately, does not make it.
So Steve, what's happening? Like, now you guys are kind of, you know, something's really wrong right now. Yeah. What starts to happen on the Lippert side of things? He's obviously not going anywhere. He's in a hospital bed on a respirator. Help me understand what's going on with your team and the people that you work with.
Yeah, so for us back at the shop, I mean, we're reaching out to Isaiah, because at that point, Isaiah couldn't have his phone. So at the beginning, actually, you could have your phone. So
yeah.
That was us giving him encouraging stuff. Like, we, during our ops meeting, we came through and we would get updates on where Isaiah was, because we were texting back and forth to try to give him motivation, to keep him motivated to get out of that hospital.
Right.
And you're going to beat this. And hey, you got kids at home that's going to be there for you when you get home. And just keep him motivated, because I know how that sometimes when you don't have that, you don't have tons of family here. So, I mean, we need to be more of a family.
Wow.
For him to get through this opportunity, I guess, that he was put in front of him. So we were pushing him just to stay motivated. I mean, we made signs for him for encouragement, sent him there. We sent him a basket just for him. And then we sent a basket to his kids, because like he said, they're at home with his dad, who came in from California. So we wanted to make sure they were taken care of also. And because obviously their dad's not there, the one that they see every day. So we wanted to take care of them also. So we sent them care packages. And I know our leadership director, Jen, got them sports stuff and basketballs and stuff like that to keep them occupied, and then keep them positive too. Like, hey, your dad's coming home and everything's going to work out. And so that was a big part. I think that's how we played a factor in hopefully getting Isaiah out of the hospital and giving him some motivation.
You guys did a little full court press on him, huh?
No, for sure.
Kind of put the love on him. Pretty. What was that like for you, man, on the receiving end?
Well, like I said, at first everything happened so quick.
Sure.
I don't remember going on the respirator. I remember kind of being there. I don't even know how many days before I went on the respirator, but all I remember is them waking me up and, you know, not myself. You know what I mean? When you wake up, wasn't myself.
Yeah.
I was on it for 5 days. Finally, you're like, things like come back to you, you know? I mean, it was touching. Cause I mean, like I said, I mean, before I went on the respirator, I was, you know, texting my dad. He was getting on the plane. So when he got here, I was already under.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you know, I talked to him actually last night, you know, and he's still in disbelief about everything I went through, but that I still work for Lippert. I still have a job for Lippert. I mean, I know there is a lot,
sure.
You know, and I don't know if you guys know this, but I mean, he's more thankful because of the communication you guys gave to him. Because like I said, he just got on a bus, didn't know if his son was going to make it or not. Show up at the hospital and the doctor's like, well, you know, it's in his hands. It's how he responds, how he comes out of it.
Yeah.
And I know that he had a lot of communication with them about, you know, hey, I mean, I know he's worried, you know, mortgage, kids, and job.
Sure.
And how's, you know.
So how did they handle that? So you're wondering right now, like, do I have a job? Can I take care of my affairs?
Yeah, at that time, I wasn't thinking about it.
Okay.
I know my dad was.
Sure enough.
I mean, he handled everything.
Yeah, you were kind of in a different zone.
Yeah, I wasn't even able to get it going, but looking back on it, you know, and like I said, talking with him, there's no company, there's not even a union that would do that, would take care of you that way. You know what I mean? And just for him, I mean, being able to talk to someone and you know, give updates about where my progress was, I think helped him in the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like I said, they've texted me a ton of times. They texted, I know, my dad a ton of times, like, hey, how's he doing? What's he doing?
Yeah, man. That's special.
And I know that my dad appreciated that, because like he said, you know, it was able to at least tell somebody that, you know, that someone that cared, you know what I mean? And it helped him through a lot of it.
Awesome.
You know, awesome.
Wow. So the residual effect I'm hearing, you know, like, not only are they taking care of you, but maybe without them knowing, they were taking care of Pops too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I guess,
got it.
I didn't really realize it till last night when he just called, you know what I mean? Called, see how I was doing, how work's going, you know what I mean? Just checking in, being dad.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, telling me his side of type of how it was for him, you know what I mean? And going through all that.
So Steve, what was the message to him? Like what were you saying to him when he's there? Obviously he's starting to worry about some things. Dad's worried about things.
I mean, first, of course, he's worried about a job and stuff like that. I mean, we took that out of the equation right off the bat. So, look, we're here for you. We're going to make sure you get through this. We'll do what we need to take care of you and make sure your family's taken care of. It was more of, I mean, actually, I think we got past that. It was more of just the motivation. Like, hey, we're all here for you. Like, stay positive. Your kids are there for you. Like, that's your motivation to get out of the hospital there and keep driving. And when you come back, we're not going to rush you through it. Like, don't worry. Don't think you have to come back and be the old Isaiah right off the bat. We know it's going to take you time to get your lungs back into being able to go out into a weld shop and get used to that again, because your lungs haven't breathed that in for 2 months. So it's a totally different thing. And get through the steps. So we said, look, the process is we're going to take our time again, and we're going to get you back into the lip program, but we're going to make sure you're ready to rock and roll. But
right on.
It was more just getting him motivated, honestly, to get out of that hospital and keep him going. Because I think as athletes, that's truly what we need when you're in a rough spot, is you just need that motivation and encouragement from the outside.
So, yeah, it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Do you remember like any of the specific messages that you were receiving along the way? Stuff just kind of landed for you?
They wouldn't let me keep the sign. you know, because like, I mean, for me, like I'm a coach and, you know how to motivate people. Yeah. I mean, it was real simple, you know, picture of my kids and the sign that they sent me.
Yeah.
Put it up every, you know what I mean?
What
it was
the
up
sign
every
say?
Day. It was just, it was notes from everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, you know, we want you to make it, you know, get healthy, get well, you know what I mean?
So these are names of people you know and they're sending you messages.
That I've met through, you know, out at 19, just say, hey, you know, get through it. And then still text is on the side. I mean, Brody texted me one time, hey, man, I hope you're all right.
Yeah.
Hope you're doing okay. The one guy, Richie, that I was training, he was like, man, I haven't heard from you. You okay?
Yeah.
Like, just people that are just caring about me, you know? And I mean, be honest with you, the sign said a lot, because there was a lot of nights that were dark.
Yeah.
Because like I said, when I came out of it, I couldn't walk. I'd lost like 65 or 70 pounds because of muscle dystrophia. You know what I mean? You lose all your muscle.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't stand. I couldn't walk. I couldn't pick my arms up.
My goodness.
Yeah. It got a hold of me.
Yeah, man.
This episode of Lippert Built to Lead podcast is brought to you by the Lippert Academy for Leadership, the team committed to enhancing your organization's leadership and cultural goals with strategic leadership development programs, on-site training, executive coaching, speaking engagement, and customized solutions. Find out how to get your organization involved at www.lci1.com/academy. Or send us a message at academy@lci1.com. That's academy@lci1.com.
So you're starting to recover now, right? When did you get out of the hospital, and what's it been like getting out, a little bit of home recovery, I'm supposing, and then slowly kind of like wading back into the work that you do?
Well, it was, I mean, you know, and that was great, because like I said, talking with Jen, talking with Steve, you know what I mean? Like, hey, you know, how are you feeling? When do you, you know what I mean? When do you think you can come back? And it, you know, I was like, well, I go to the doctor and I asked the doctor, I said, you know, well, when do I make that decision? Like, he's like, well, I don't know. How do you feel? Shoot, I don't know. I need to kind of like have a day out there and be like, okay, I can or can't do this or whatever. So I just made the decision like, hey, I'm going to come back and just
give it a go.
Yeah, something. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, and when I came back, shoot, I got up the steps and I thought I was going to pass out, because you know what
still
I mean?
Early.
COVID attacks your lungs.
Yeah.
And there was one day, like, Dave, grandpa was like, you okay? Like, come sit down in my office. Like, you sure? Like, don't, you know, he's, you know, just being, being like grandpa, like, you know what I mean? He was nervous. He was just nervous because I was literally sucking that much air in that he was nervous that I wasn't even going to make it up the steps.
It seems like, you know, having a group of people, and honestly, like, you haven't known these folks for that long, right? Like,
no, not at all.
This is a relatively new group of people, but it just seems to me that they've wrapped their arms around you and have kind of pulled you in, and they've been that voice of comfort, because you're in a, not only are they new people, but you're in a new home. You're in a new part of the country right now.
Correct.
Like, what were you feeling from these folks?
Honestly, it was what was driving me to get going. It gave me like a goal, like, dang, they still want me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I told my dad, I was like, hey, they still want me. Cause he was like, slow down at the house. I was like, man, but they still want me. Like, hey, like, what am I sitting around here for? Let's get, you know what I mean? Like, get rid of this walker. Let's go.
And you know, when you say that, like, and you say it like that, like, they still want me, it sounds to me like there's a little bit of surprise there. Like, almost like I would understand if they didn't want me.
Like I said, my dad, if you asked, if we called my dad right now, he would have said, there is no one else that would ever have done that. He doesn't know anyone that would ever have taken care of me this way, done the things they did for me. I mean, just, there's no one.
So Steve, this is a great example. Now we're going to talk about the little bit of before and after, right? Mm-hmm. Because 19 years, I mean, you were here when it was, you know, I've heard it described as the Wild West, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
then the new advent at in what we currently know to be Lippert kind of got kicked off, like with our core values and things like that.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the before and after, because I'm hearing some of those messages in our core values kind of pop up in Isaiah's story.
No, 100%. So, I mean, early on when I started off in my career, I mean, it was when we were going to get everything out that we needed to out of team members. And I don't know that we cared about the family side of it that as much. It was more of the business side of, I mean, we were here late nights till 10:30 and getting everybody home and back to work and getting them going and ready to rock and roll. And I mean, opportunities would come up. There'd be lines of just people ready to go. And we would just let people go and we wouldn't take care of them because we would run some people off because of the hours that we worked or how hard we pushed them and stuff like that. Where now I think the culture changed to be able to lead with passion and be passionate towards our team members. So back then it was more like fear-based leadership a little bit. And that's kind of how I think some of the leaders taught us when we were going through that LIP program sometimes is we got to scream to get what we need out sometimes. Right. Or, hey, let's just worry, make sure we get all 35 frames out the door and don't worry that, hey, this person has a basketball game to go to for their daughter or something. It's more about let's make sure we get these frames out the door. And now as leaders here at Lippert, I mean, the journey started 8-9 years ago and it's been a complete culture change where to seriously wake up every morning knowing that you can make a difference in somebody's life, even somebody that's been there 3 months that had a pretty big obstacle thrown in front of them, but to be able to make that difference and know that you're a part of that and to be able to say that in your community now. Right. Before, Lippert had the name that really wasn't desired out there, but now we're the desired name and you hear in interviews like, we want to come to Lippert because of all the good that you're doing in the community and what the stories that we're hearing out there. So that is a huge improvement to what we are now to where we were 19 years ago.
I hear that all the time right now. You know, people that are kind of knocking on the door because they're curious about what it's like to work at a place like this. Isaiah, like what you're describing, Steve, what you're describing, when we really do pay attention to the culture, one of our core values is caring about people. And I don't know that I've heard a better example of like how that's been demonstrated in our recordings more so than right now. I've heard some pretty cool stories along the way, but like that support and that love that you guys put on him, man, like that's life-changing and difference-making. And I love hearing your angle on your dad, you know, and how this has impacted him. And that's one of the things that we've kind of come to know a little bit better is that like what we do in the workplace, like it emanates out into our home life and into the community with the different things that we're doing. And we work hard at it, man. And so I'm just so grateful for your guys' demonstration of our core values. We're gonna start to wrap up here, guys. But I don't know, Steve, any just final thoughts for you in terms of like what you see ahead for a guy like Isaiah that's made a massive change in his life, been through a trial of fire with COVID and all. Like, what do you see for him moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I see great things for him. We were talking about on the way up here actually together is now that he's back on that journey and there's roadblocks that get put in front of you. But for him, I think long-term, I mean, he can definitely lead a plant down the road and be the difference maker. And I think he can then take what he's learned through this process and hopefully be able to help somebody else down the road. But definitely big things for Isaiah.
Dig it. It helps people have people who believe in you, right? You do that for a lot of years as a coach. So
absolutely.
What's it like to be on the receiving end of that right now?
Like I said, it helped me get through that.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did because there was a few times, I mean, he texted me, hey, don't worry about it. Come on, you know, when you come back, we got you. You know what I mean? And I texted him, man, thanks for believing in me.
Right.
You know, because I tell you what, there were some dark nights where you don't, you know, am I going to make it through this?
Yeah.
Am I going to be able to walk or do, you know what I mean? I had to learn to re-walk. I mean, those little things, especially for me, helped me, like, okay, yeah, hey, someone's believing you.
Yeah.
And, all right, believe in yourself. Get going. I know Jen sent me a bunch of sports, she sent me one on a basketball player in Michigan. I think it was Michigan State or something. I can't remember. But, I mean, just those little things help you. Just, it helps.
That's great, man. I love it. And so, you know, I hear stories like this around our company more and more frequently every day, you know, where it looks like a team pulls together to support somebody who's going through a trial. And it's not even so much that we take a lot of pride in that. We just do that. It's becoming more of a reflex for us where it's how we behave and right. It's what we expect from leadership. You know, I always tell people, especially folks that are struggling with demonstrating care, I'm like, listen, you can do that somewhere. Like where you don't care about the people, but you just can't do that here. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that we've come to expect. I love that we're living more and more out of our core values and our leader qualities. And I mean, here's a great example of that, folks. And so friends, as we begin to wrap up here with Steve and Isaiah, I want to let you know that we're available to help you take your next steps on your leadership journey. And if there's any way that we can support you in that transformation, please contact us at academy@lci1.com. That's academy@lci1.com. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to tell your story. Steve, thank you so much. Isaiah, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Appreciate
and hear your story, man, and the best of luck to you. And we look forward to seeing you one day lead your own business unit, man. That would be fantastic. So, hey, Edgar Cabello here with the Academy for Leadership at Lippert, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us, and know that together we can use the 40 or 50 hours a week we have to influence and impact others and truly make business a force for good in this world. If you don't mind, do me a favor and leave your comments for us and share this episode with a few people. The world needs this message. Thanks again for joining us.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast belong solely to the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the view or mission of Lippert Components Incorporated.